All right. What if I said someone stole my car? Is that something to be thankful for?
No.
No? Yeah, Jesus would be something you'd be thankful for. What if I said one of my brothers or sisters took one of my toys and broke it? That's not something to be thankful for either? You know, when we're thankful, a lot of times we tend to praise God. And when we do that, I would say use the breath, right? To praise God, we use our breath. And that's what I've used to fill this balloon. This is filled with praises. All the things that we were thankful for, we praise God for. Like video games and stuff. But we don't necessarily think of praising God when something bad happens. That's not something that we're thankful for. So we don't praise when something bad happens. Right? We don't add to the balloon. In fact, most of the time when something bad happens, or something that's pretty terrible, right? It just deflates our praises. It deflates everything that's been going on. And we don't think to continue to praise him. There it is, thanks. We don't think to keep filling the balloon and to praise God. But Paul was a guy in the Bible who wrote most of the New Testament for us. And he knew Jesus. He had met Jesus, seen Jesus. And he'd been through some terrible things. I mean, he'd been beaten. He had rocks thrown at him. Have you ever had rocks thrown at you? I don't recommend it. Don't throw rocks at people. Right? But he had rocks thrown at him. He had been on a boat and shipwrecked. He had all kinds of terrible things happen to him. In fact, the message that Fred's going to be talking about, at this point, Paul is in jail. He's in jail for just talking about Jesus. All right, he had a lot to be upset about, to not be thankful for. But he said this. Nope. That's not what he said. There it is. All right. He says this, though. He says, "The same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." The same God who takes care of me. He thought God was still taking care of him even in the bad things. He was thankful. He said he learned to be content. And that's something that's hard for adults to do, let alone kids. When things aren't going great, to still continue to praise God and not let our balloon be deflated and to stop our praises. Yeah, we don't want to stop our praises. There's good that can come out of things. We may not see it. We may not even know about it. In fact, we might even, when we get to heaven, it won't even matter anymore. But we can still praise God even when the bad things are happening. Because, why? Do you know why? Because we have Jesus. Because we have Jesus. All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Fred. He's going to share with us this morning.
I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, if you will, please. Philippians 4. This morning we had quite a surprise.
I sat down over there, looked over there. I saw the walkers over there. So I'm glad to have them.
My office
this morning, Harrison and Elsa Cardona
was there at my door. And Harrison is our former worship leader, and it's certainly good to see them here this morning to be with us. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 1, verse 3, the apostle says very plainly, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And as Paul writes the Philippian church, he's in Rome under house arrest for preaching Jesus chained to two guards around the clock. And he's not certain what his outlook is going to be, what his outcome will be, whether or not he will be released or executed. But either way, Paul rejoices and gives glory to God. And as he ponders his situation, Paul's thoughts turn to the Philippian church, how they demonstrated, you know, their love and support for him while he was in his chains. And this memory of his brothers and sisters at Philippi triggered a deep gratitude to God for putting them in his life, for the mutual faith that they have as in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, for the love that they share for each other, for the caring concern that they have unselfishly demonstrated for him during this very difficult time in his life. And as Paul concluded his letter, the Apostle Paul then expressed his thanksgiving to the church in a more personal way. And I want you to listen to what Paul said. I don't have this on the screen, but in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, listen to the Apostle. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me, writing to the Philippian church. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Say that with me. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And yet it was good of you. It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days, as your acquaintances with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. And not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credit to your account. I have received full payment. And even more, I am amply supplied from Epaphroditus. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our glory and Father be glory. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. First of all, in this little section of Scripture, Paul was deeply grateful for the monetary support that they had given him while he was a prisoner at Rome. And while under house arrest, Paul was really unable to work to take care of all of his personal needs that had risen. And so when the opportunity presented itself, the Philippian church sent aid to the Apostle Paul. And this wasn't the only time that the Philippian church, you know, helped Paul with his needs. Again, in verses 14 to 16, it says they did again and again when he was in Thessalonica preaching the gospel. And they were the only church to do so. Secondly, Paul was grateful for the moral and physical support they gave him by sending one of their own, Epaphroditus, to personally tend to him and do whatever the apostle needed done that he could not do for himself. And as much as the financial support was appreciated, undoubtedly sending Epaphroditus to personally care for him and support him meant so much to the Apostle Paul. I mean, Epaphroditus was able to provide what the Philippian church as a collective body could not. He brought friendship. He brought a listening ear. He brought words of encouragement that Paul so desperately needed and during this difficult time that he was going through. And as much as the church as a whole would have loved to have been there for Paul, they feasibly could not, but they did the second best thing by sending Epaphroditus to assist their brother. Brenda and I are so deeply grateful.
promised I wouldn't do this. We are so deeply grateful for all the encouragement and support you have shown us during Stephen's sickness and the passing of our son. It's been 1 month today. Next week, I'm planning to get back to the church series that I have been doing all summer, but had to stop for several weeks there. I'm trying to get back to that, to try to have some normalcy once again. But today, like the Apostle Paul, when he expressed his thanksgiving to the Philippian church for helping them during his time of need, I wanted to use this day today just to thank you and to let you know how much we appreciate you, our church family. And so, first of all, I just want to thank you for your expressions of love. Again, the gifts that Paul received while in Rome were outward expressions of the deep love that the Christians at Philippi had for this apostle. And although Paul pointed out that he had learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, I mean, his church family at Philippi wanted to make sure that his physical needs were going to be taken care of, that he lacked nothing. And Paul assured them that because of their generosity, he had everything he needed. In fact, he wrote in verse 18, he says, I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. Again, there was no way that this church was going to let Paul's needs go unmet, especially knowing that he was in prison for preaching Jesus as the Christ. And again, as Paul said, in times past, the Philippian church was the only one of all the churches that Paul and his missionary team planted. They were the only ones who supported his mission efforts with their giving, because they loved Paul. They loved Paul, and they wanted to make sure that everything was taken care of him. Paul was greatly blessed to have such dear Christian brothers and sisters who loved and cared so much for him during that time. And Brenda and I are so deeply grateful and blessed to have such loving and caring brothers and sisters as we do here at Garfield Christian Church. During my illness and Stephen's illness and during his passing, you have expressed your love for us in so many ways. All the cards. We have received dozens of cards from all over. Just dozens of cards, the flowers, food, money. Had a card on my desk this morning. And again, these gifts meant so much to Brenda and me, knowing that behind each card that was mailed, behind the flowers that were purchased, behind the food that was prepared and the money that was given, was a sincere love and concern for our family during the most difficult situation in our lives. And then, when I learned that the bill from the funeral home that took care of our son was paid for, our entire family wept. We wept in deep gratitude for this church. And I don't know who paid for it. I don't. I mean, if it was paid from the benevolence fund or if an individual this church paid for it, if money was collected from many members, I don't know. But Brenda and I just want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for showing such love, not only for us, but especially for our son, Stephen. Again, Paul described the gifts that he received from this church family at Philippi, verse 18, as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. I mean, Paul wanted this church to know that their gifts, were pleasing to God. I mean, anytime that we are able to help people in need, whether it's my family or your family, God is pleased. And those expressions of love become a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. And again, we want to thank you so much for those wonderful gifts. But then secondly, I want to thank you for your encouragement and your comfort. You know, as appreciative Paul was for the gifts that Epaphroditus brought him from his fellow Christians at Philippi, he was more thankful, you know, for the encouragement and comfort that he received just by having Epaphroditus there with him while he's in prison. And Paul reminds us of how important it is to be there for each other during times of difficulty. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, Paul said, "Therefore, I want you to encourage one another and build each other up." I mean, when we see people down, we are to be there as our brothers and sisters in Christ to build them up. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And all that double talk that Paul is using there is simply saying that he is so thankful that we in turn, when we receive comfort from God, that we in turn can comfort others. You know, nothing can bring you down quicker than losing a loved one, especially a child. I have lost both of my parents, a brother, two nieces, but nothing is like losing a child, as some of you know. And yet Paul said we are to be there to comfort one another in times of trouble and encourage one another and build each other up. And you were, and you still are. You have been such an encouragement to our family in so many ways. Again, every card and letter we read, every consoling word that was posted on Facebook, every phone call and text we received, every blessing personally prayed over us, every expression of love extended to us brought great encouragement and comfort to Brenda and me and our entire family. The day, the very day after Stephen passed away, my brother Ben Knoll, who was just up here, reached out to me and said, "Fred, don't worry about preaching. I will be glad to fill in for you as long as you need." And brother, that was a blessing. The elders gave me time off so that Brenda and I could have time to be with our family, so we could have time just to talk, to cry, to pray, and try to adjust to the new normal without our son. To see so many here for Stephen's celebration of life service was such an encouragement and comfort to us. We saw people we hadn't seen for such a long time. My family from Oklahoma and Texas, many of them were here, that we hadn't seen for a few years, and including my sister and my brother-in-law, who lost their daughter Tanya just a few years ago, their youngest child. There were some here from the church where I ministered before coming here in Rossville, Illinois, who drove at 130 miles that day just to be with our family. There were many people here that Brenda and I didn't even know. And yet they were friends with my daughter, you know, and they were here to help support her and her family during their time of loss. And what a comfort it was to see so many wear green, my son's favorite color. Thanks to Julie. Julie Pruitt for decorating the sanctuary, and what she did, there's a a silver runner up here, but she put a green runner on this table with our son's picture. And for Marilyn Bridges and her team for decorating the tables in the fellowship hall with green. And those little kind gestures meant a lot to our family. And I know that the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort certainly used you, our church family, in loving and amazing ways to help us and make life just a little bit bearable during these last few weeks. But then most of all, I want to thank you for your fervent prayers. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I know the very day Stephen was admitted to the hospital, people literally throughout this world were praying for our son. They were praying for him. God must have heard the name Stephen Sigel lifted up to him hundreds of times a day. And Brenda and I know and are comforted by the fact that our church family were praying fervently for us and for Stephen. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. However, it was the do not be anxious part. It was the do not be anxious part that was the tough one for my family. When Paul says here, do not be anxious about anything. Because when Stephen was lying in the hospital, anxiety was our constant companion. We were anxious for our son. Stephen had never been in the hospital since his birth. And although he was 36 years old, I know that he was scared and alone because he wouldn't let his family to be with him. And as a family, we were praying fervently that Stephen get well. And we were doing our very best, not to be anxious, but we were doing a poor job of it. We were so anxious for our son. However, as I'm studying the book of Philippians, I find here that the same anxiety that we experienced during those days that Stephen was in the hospital just clinging to life, the Apostle Paul had also experienced it to a certain degree. You see, while Epaphroditus, who was sent by the Philippian church to help Paul with his needs, while Epaphroditus was in Rome caring for Paul, he became extremely ill. In fact, I want you to listen to Paul as he describes how difficult it was for him to watch his good friend suffering with an illness that almost ended his life. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, will you please? Philippians chapter 2. I want to read verses 25 to 30. Again, I don't have this on the screen, so just follow with me as we read here. Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. Listen to Paul. "But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus." Paul said, I'm going to send him back to Philippi. Why? Epaphroditus, he's my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, who you sent to take care of my needs. But the reason is, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on me, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me, listen to what he says, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and listen, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. The Apostle Paul, when his good friend, what he thought was dying, Paul said,
You know, I'm glad that he didn't die. I'm glad that God spared him so I wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow. And I'm sending him back to you so that I will have less anxiety. When Paul says, do not be anxious, even he himself was anxious. Anxious for his good friend who was ill. You know, we understand that anxiety. God understands that anxiety. But the whole point that Paul is making here is we need to give it to God. You give it to God. And I know that while Brenda and I were worried about Stephen and focusing our prayers on him, you were lifting not only Stephen up in prayer, but you were lifting Brenda and me and our entire family. And when our son passed away, those prayers for our family intensified. And even when we could no longer, you know, pray, have you ever experienced a time when you try to pray and you can't pray? And when we can no longer pray for because of the deep sorrow and the anguish that we were going through for our son, your prayers continue to go up to the Father on our behalf. And we felt those prayers. I mean, your prayers is what sustained us and continue to sustain us through the most difficult situation that our family has ever endured. And because of your prayers, God was right there at our side, holding us, comforting us, strengthening us, and yes, even giving us peace that surpasses all understanding. Because without him, without your prayers, we would have completely crumbled. We would have crumbled under the heartbreak that we were going through. But your prayers lifted us up. And during that time when we felt like we couldn't take it another moment, God was there holding us up and saying to Brenda and me, parents, it's going to be okay. Your son is okay. Your son is with me, and he's okay. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for all your gifts you've given us. Thank you so much for your encouragement, your comfort. Thank you for your prayers. It was those prayers is truly what kept us going. Well, let me ask this question.